And that you give them that divine touch that they may be able to follow your lead in obedience. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, we love you, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. This beautiful Sunday morning, worship team, you have your seats. Good job. You may have your seats as well. Amen. I want to thank each and every one of y'all for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning. Immediately after the service at 1:30 there at the Washington Park. Amen. All you got to do is exit off on Lloyd and you'll run right into it. It'll be on your right-hand side. And I don't know if they addressed the plan B. Let's just say there's not a lot of kids there. It's not really looking like the best situation. Plan B is 26 in Burleigh. 26 in Burleigh. And we're going to have food. We're going to have face painting, puppet show, a lot of evangelism taking place. And we're going to be reaching out and meeting the need that's out there. Amen. That God has called us to reach and make an impact in. Amen. So that is at 1:30. That's at 1:30 there at the Washington Park on the north side. Amen. As we get into this morning's message, amen, a lot of things are taking place which are good. The enemy is surely doing his job, and he's just being obedient, amen, to his defeated life that he lives. Amen. I know at one time when I was defeated out there running with the devil, as defeated as I was still obedient to the cause of being in darkness. I was defeated and still obedient. I know that kind of really don't make sense. The Lord's going to speak this morning. Amen. But I was under high obedience. Even though I was defeated, I still had an obedience in my life to go all out, to be all in, and what I was doing, even though it was wrong, even though it was even against the law of the land and surely the law of heaven, amen, I still had an obedience to it, amen. So I believe here this morning through the preaching of the gospel as you listen, that they also can be in obedience here this day for doing things the right way. Being law-abiding citizens, but most importantly, God-fearing men of God, God-fearing women of God. Amen? I believe this service this morning is going to bring forth a stirring within your heart that's going to address you to deal with certain situations within your life so that you may be able to answer the call of God in obedience to what he wants. How many put in a lot of years in obedience to darkness? Amen. It got us nowhere. And it's only God's grace and mercy that has us here on a Sunday morning in our right minds. Only God could do that when we were all going the wrong way. Amen. It's called God's grace. It's something we don't deserve. Amen. He handled his business on the cross, amen, to give us all an opportunity to be obedient unto him. Amen. This may be the last service dealing within the topic of the series I've been on for months now. Some probably are just tired of listening to holiness messages. You know? Come on, Pastor, talk some about the streets, man. There's some blood and... No, he's been speaking about holiness. Holiness just represents making changes within your life. Amen? Allowing the Lord to come in and cleanse and walk because he's the only one that can do it. So next Sunday might be the last one. Amen? Tell your neighbor, did he say next Sunday might be the last holiness message? Yes, I did. So, and because we're so cleansed and washed and holy now, you better believe the next one's going to deal with commitment in some way or, hey, since we're up and going, amen? The title of this morning's message. Once again, it's good to have all of y'all here this beautiful Sunday morning as we get started. Amen. The title this morning is Holiness Starts Within. Holiness Starts Within. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, this verse here, Paul speaking just to the church of Corinth, is that God had great promises in store for the church back then. And God's got great promises for the church of today, for each and every one of our lives. How many know that the promises of God are great? How many know that the promises of God are true? How many have ever had somebody make them a promise and they broke their promise with you? How many here this morning, going on the other foot now, have ever broke a promise to someone you promised that you were going to do this or that just to find yourself slipping? Amen? But God, on the other hand, tell your neighbor, but God, on the other hand, He keeps His promises. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. And Paul knew that. That on his worst day of persecution, he was once the persecutor, now he was the persecuted. And even though he was the persecuted, he still knew within his heart that the promises of God for his life were true. Something took place in the life of Saul that would become Paul, that was so dramatic, so powerful, that he could still believe in the promises of God under heavy persecution. And this is the type of men and women that the Lord is looking for. A man, a woman, that continues to believe in the promises of God, even when everything's going wrong in your life, in your marriage, with your children, in the church, with your pastor. See, that those are issues and things that are all outside of who God is and His promises. So He's looking for men and women this day. Men and women this day that can continue to believe in His promises, not only in the good times, but also in the difficult times. I don't know about you, but I want a few good men around my life that I can count on to be there, not just in the good times, but in the hard times. To be there when things are getting really rough and still step for step with me. Even when it's not making sense and it doesn't feel fair and it's just not looking good, still being with me step for step. Paul knew through all his persecution that the promises of God were true. He was able to see them even under the light of persecution. Amen? We need to become those tough Christians. Amen? Because we're living in tough times, end times, darkened times. And just because we're living in end times and darkened times does not mean that the promises of God are now not true. No, it's a disbelief that's taking place within our lives due to the circumstances, but it has nothing to do with the promises of God. It has nothing to do with who God is. That's why when people say stuff about the church, I will say you can't base, because of certain people in the church, I say you can't base the church based on people. The church is based on who Jesus is. The church is based on what he says. Not what he or she says, but what he says. So when we look at it under that light, amen, we're in a good place here this Sunday morning. So here's Paul speaking to the church about the promises of God. Because we have these promises. Paul had the promises of God within his life under heavy persecution. He wasn't speaking, we might have the promises of God because they ain't really looking good right now. But he says, because we have these promises. See, whether you can see it or not, the promises of God are within your life. So Paul was transmitting to the church, because of this, that they did have the promises, let us cleanse ourselves from everything. See, he knew what blinded the men and the women of the church was them defiling themselves. Was what did not allow them to be able to see the promises of God. So Paul says, because we do have these promises, dearest friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit. Talking about the body, the outer appearance, and the spirit, the inner appearance. And let us work toward complete holiness because we fear God. Your translation might say because of the reverence unto God. See, there should be a reverence unto the Lord from every one of our lives. I was sharing with the leadership this morning by simply what he has already done. There should be a high reverence from each and every one of our lives here this Sunday morning. By simply what God has already done. Should want you to get right and to continue to grow. Because of these promises of the Lord are here this day. I have a few points I want to open up with. And I said, what's taking place within your life will eventually make itself be made known. Whatever is taking place within your life in time, maybe tomorrow, next week, next month, 6 months from now, will eventually be made known. You'll be able to see it. They'll be able to see it. What's taking place within your life will eventually make itself be made known. Whether it's something good, all you're all thinking something bad is going to be manifested. No. Whether it's something good or bad. Too many times we just think what's taking place that's bad and done in secrecy within our life will eventually be made known. But also, things that are good within your life. Doing things the right way. And even though you may not have it all together, as you continue to do things the right way, eventually, maybe tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, eventually by doing what is right, right is going to be able to be made known, not only to your life, but those looking on to your life. Have you ever heard someone say, man, pastor, brother such and such, man, he's looking really good. He's doing real good. I can't believe that. Sister such and such is looking really good now. She made it. But all this that eventually made its way out of our life first started within our life. Whether it was good or bad, eventually it will come out. tells us that what's taking place within our life is more important than what's taking place outside of our life. That makes it more important to you and I. And even God thinks what's taking place within your life is more important than what's taking place outside of your life. That you can see in the mirror, that people can see. Even God says what takes place within your life is more important than what's taking place outside of your life. To back that up with scripture, we go to Psalms 139. And Psalms 139 says, all the way to verse 4 says, "O Lord," this is David speaking, "not only did Paul know the promises of God, so did David." David got to a place within his life that he knew God was able to see into his heart. When he got away with Bathsheba and the sin he did, he got away with it. He was the king, authority. But then the prophet came to town and pulled his covers. What he did within, what he did in secrecy, eventually made its way out to be known. So the Bible says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me." Key verse right there. I'm going to break it down later. "Oh Lord," go back to one, please. "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me." Verse 2. "You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord." Not only did Paul, but so did David, know that he served the God that examined the heart. That examined the heart. Verse 1 says, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me." Tells us, amen, that the Lord knows everything about us by simply by what's taking place within our hearts. You see, in order for us to know something about somebody, we got to see the action. We got to see the aftermath, the manifestation, or whatever you want to call it, to see what's taking place in somebody's life. And that usually takes place under pressure. So here, the Bible records that the Lord knew everything about the heart of David. He knew everything regarding the life of David based on simply in what he could see within his heart. This also tells you and I that who we truly are lies within our hearts. And not in what we portray, not in what people see. Because the Bible says in verse 1 that the Lord knew everything about David based on what was in his heart. It was almost as his heart was a mirror unto the Lord. He could see everything about the life of David without looking at the face of David. This tells you and I that who we are, truly who we are, lies within our heart. Not what we look like on the outside. The work of the enemy is to get us all caught up on what we look like on the outside, on how people look at us on the outside. And this is what we base and go off of communication off of the five senses of smell, touch, sight, taste. And this is why the enemy at times works on us and keeps us focused on what we look like on the outside. That's the work of the enemy. I put here, holiness is an inner work. Holiness is an inner work. When the Lord first touched my life on the first service there in Victor Alvarez, Salinas, California, on a Sunday morning, got out of prison the day before on a Saturday, and when I was in that back row with a pack of smokes, posted up, checking it out, acting all hard, amen, because I just came out of prison. And what would take place that day didn't so much take place in what I saw and what I heard, but there was something taking place within my heart. There was something, I couldn't understand it, but something was stirring in my heart. The gospel was being preached, and something was being stirred. I didn't know what it was. I knew it was something good. I didn't understand it. But something was taking place in this area of my life, in my heart. I didn't know it. I know it today based on what Scripture says. But as my pastor was preaching, something was stirring in my life. Even though I was still lost and bound, even though I was still 100% worldly, even though I had a pack of smokes, even though I was checking out all the girls in the church, and even though I was acting all hard, God, through His wisdom, still had a way of getting in my life where it mattered most, in my heart. He didn't care on how I was looking and how I was standing and acting hard and what I looked like on the outside. He was concerned with what was taking place on the inside of my life. And here this Sunday morning, the Lord is not concerned what you look like, what you smell like, what cologne, what perfume you're wearing, what type of shoes you're wearing, what type of dress you're wearing, what kind of shoes you, what kind of pants you got on, what kind of underwear you got. He's not concerned with that. He's not concerned with none of those things. And yet, 99.9 of the time, we put our focus in what God is not focused on. Because He knows that when the enemy deceived us, it wasn't an outward. He deceived us within, and eventually it came out. So if the enemy can work and start at your heart and mind and eventually allow evil to come out, why can the Lord not work in your heart and your mind and eventually good come out of your life? So it's important what lies within our heart here this day. Not what we're looking like, but what lies within our heart is very important to the Lord. Very important to the Lord of what lies within our heart. When the Lord first touched my life, I felt something being stirred within my heart. Something took place in that back row of the church that allowed me, as hard as I was, as crooked as I was, as criminal thinking as I was thinking, to make the altar call. Something was drawing me. Something was happening. And I believe we serve the same God that touched my life 22 years ago is here this morning, stirring the hearts of men and women and youth. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, He's not concerned with that, because His Son took care of all that outer stuff at the cross. He is concerned with your heart. He's concerned with your heart. I've always heard that brother got a good heart. That sister got a good heart, Pastor. That's by looking at what they look like on the outside. Maybe a few times they were faithful and they did a few works to convince us that they got a good heart. The Bible calls it filthy, a filthy rag. But we have a way of seeing things, and the Lord has a total different way of seeing things. Thank the Lord. Because if He did go off of what we look like, this ain't on the notes, I would have been the last cat He would have chose. 75 pounds, all sucked up, months without taking a bath, hair down to here, a beard out to here, walking the streets. If He did go by appearance, I would have been the last one that He would have picked. But He knew that within my heart, where true life comes from, where He touches a man, where He touches a woman, that I had a good heart. It just needed Jesus to cleanse it, to wash it, for God could abide in it and God could work through it. He's looking for a man to give up his heart unto Jesus. He's looking for a woman to give her heart unto Jesus. In 1 Samuel 16:7, this is when the prophet Samuel came to town and by instructions of the Lord to anoint one of the sons of Jesse, amen? And they were all brought out. There were big bad dudes. There were warriors, the Bible says. Tall, good-looking guys, men of battle. And the Lord told them, just go and I'll tell you which one to anoint. And they brought the first brother out, the biggest, baddest looking one in appearance. Says, nope, that's not the one. Brought the next one out, nope, that's not the one. Nope, that's not the one. Jesse goes, well, I ain't got no more kids. I ain't got no more boys. I mean, I do got little David, but he's taking care of the sheep in the shepherd field. He goes, bring him out. The Bible says he was a good-looking little kid, amen? He was taking care of the sheep. And then when he came out, he says, that's the one. That's the one. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Looks at the heart. He's able to see what we can't see on our best day. The Lord here this morning, church, is concerned with the root of sin. The root of sin that takes place within our hearts that leads to the outward sin that's seen by all. Too many times we're trying to take care of the outward sin. I got this drug problem. I'm an alcoholic. I got this alcohol problem, and we work at it, and we work at it. I got this wrong with me, and we work at it. Things we can see. Things others can see. Yeah, you're right, bro. You do need help, man. You need help, man. Hey, we got a rehab. Go to the rehab. You need help. It's something that can be seen. But what can be seen by man is not the root of what brought eventually what you see, whether it's a heroin addict, crack addict, alcoholic, whatever it may be. There's a root to everything. The crack, the heroin addiction, the opposite sex is just a manifestation of what has already been taking place within one's life. The Lord's concern is with the root of sin that takes place within our heart that leads to the outward sin that's seen by all. Too many times we're trying to take care of the outward sin and our outward appearance because we're so worried about what people are going to say about us and the way we look, how heavy we are, how thin we are, how our hair looks, and we're so worried about our appearance when God says people judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Without ever dealing with the root of the problem. I've seen many men and women go to rehab and get out and do it all over again. Because the root was not dealt with. The root was not dealt with. I've shared this before. I think it's important. I'm going to share it again. On my second time going to prison, they had a class in there. And every time I went to prison, I went a heroin addict, all sucked up, all messed up. So when I got there, what are you here for? I said, and that's the way they do it in California, man. Drugs, man, drug sales and all that, you know? And I says, I'm here because of drugs, you know? Strung out. And I went to prison again. What are you here for? I'm here because of addiction. Selling drugs, using drugs. But the second time I went to prison, amen, I took a class in there. It was talking about trigger points. You know, knowing the trigger points and all this stuff. I was like, oh, man, smoking a cigarette. And they're talking, amen? That time you could smoke like a chain. Nowadays, you can barely smoke nowhere. And as I was listening, they were talking about usually what brings you to prison is not your problem. So I started listening with one ear. So as they were giving this class, through the Lord, through this class, I got a revelation. The only reason I thought drugs was my problem, it was the last thing I was doing for a long time until those famous words, put your hands behind your back, amen, and you're thrown up in the back seat of a cop car and once again going back to prison. And every time I went back to prison, the last thing I did forever was addiction. So addiction was my problem. But as I took this class, there was a root to my addiction, and it was WOMEN, women. Not that I was a gigolo or anything like that, amen. You don't have to be a gigolo to have a problem with the opposite sex. You don't have to be a player to have a problem with the opposite sex. And when I started seeing, I said, oh my God, it was always trying to impress girls. I would have money. I would be doing good. I said, man, go get a bag, man. Go get a bag. Doing my dumb stuff with girls. And before you know it, I said, man, give me a hit. Man, give me a hit. Give me a hit. Heroin was my thing. It wasn't crack. I took a hit off of crack, and there it was, man. Before you know it, back in the hot spot. So when I got out of prison the second time, women were bing, bing, bing all over the place again. But this time I had a revelation that they were the crack pipe. They were the needle. They were the alcohol. They were the prison bars. They were what's keeping me back from answering the call of God. See, there's a root to everything. The manifestation of my problem was my addiction. The root that led me to the addiction was women. See, it's only the Lord that's able to go down in your heart and allow you to see what He sees, to address what needs to be addressed within your heart, not the outer appearance. Diets are good. They're healthy. They're good. Working out, all that stuff is good, but it can't do nothing for the heart of sin. So we need to think, if you really want to give reverence to the Lord for having you here this morning, See, you're not here by chance. You're here because somebody was willing to lay it all down at the cross. You're here because of a commitment, because of the ultimate sacrifice by Jesus Christ. And his heart wasn't full of junk. He was pure and without sin, the Bible records. So as you're thinking right now, what could it be? I can tell you right now, your problem is not that addiction. Your problem, your outer problem might be women or men. That might be your addiction. The root might be drug addiction. Flipped around. It might be money. Might be, because money is the root of many evils. Money might be what is driving you from never getting around to answer the call of God. Especially when we were raised in a poverty and didn't have everything growing up, it's real easy to go after the dollar. It's real easy to go after money. And to allow money to step in and be the root of your problem and not being faithful in the church. Because there's bills to be paid. What could it be? I was thinking for years, my problem was addiction. But inside my heart, I knew I was a good guy, man. I knew I was a good guy. My mom and dad were banking. He's a good guy. He'll come around. I never came around. I got worse and worse and worse and worse. In the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 23, we're here to get revelation today. We're here to deal with the root of our problems, for we can be effective in building the kingdom of God. It's got to mean something to you in helping in building the church. It's got to mean something to you to be on Washington here at 1:30 today. It's got to mean something to you. But Pastor, I've never been to a rally. What a better time to be your first one. Instead of saying I've never been to a rally, it's better said, this is going to be my first rally I'm going to today. Colossians 2:23 says, these rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Pastor, break it down. I'm going to break it down. What Paul was saying is, even though certain people operate under what seems wise, strong devotion, self-denial, severe bodily discipline, provides them no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Of what lies within your heart. Example. How many know that working out faithfully, I put here, not just working out when you get a chance, but that working out faithfully requires all these areas. It's wise to work out, to have a healthy body. That's wise. It takes strong devotion to work out if you want to be faithful. You got to deny self if you want to faithfully work out on weights or run or whatever it might be. You got to have a severe, bodily discipline to work out every day. Those things call for being faithful. But at the end it says, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Next example. You might be the best employee at your workplace. They talk about you. You the guy. You're the sister. You're employee of the month, every year. Employee of the month. And they got your picture there and you're employee of the month. They know you can't touch this. Nobody can come close to getting down at the job place like you. You are the numero uno. Some work where there's five people that work there. Some work at a place where 20. Some work where hundreds work. And you're the number one employee in the place. You feel good about it. You should be the number one
employee there at the workplace. But, tell your neighbor, but, you never work for the Lord. You never do nothing in the church. But you're number one employee of the month, month after month, at the job place. But when it becomes being a disciple of the Lord, you can't be found. You can't punch out because you never punched in. But at the workplace, you're respected. You're looked up to. You're praised. You're worshiped. But how about in the temple of God, where money ain't put in your hands? Hey, man, I got a little running money for today's rally. Me and Grandpa got to do a Burger King run. Got a little bit of money. Got a couple of people's money here, a couple of fives and fives and fives. You know why I got all these fives looking folded up like dope money in my wallet? They have a different fold because they have a different purpose. The other ones lay flat, but these lay folded a certain way standing up in my wallet. My little filing cabinet. Because those little fives represent the leadership all putting $5 in to buy all the hot dogs and chips and punch and everything for the rally. A few people put $5 in. $5 in to go make it happen on the north side today. How many know that you couldn't make a hit take place from the north side with $5 on your best day? But with a few people giving $5 a piece, we got 150 hot dogs, we got punch, we got chips, we got paint facing, we got a puppet show ready to jump off, my little 9-year-old kicking it off. Just by a few people giving $5. You're the best employee at your workplace, but not known in the church. Not known in the tithing reports either. You're worried about the outer appearance and what man thinks and the way man sees instead of what God's concerned with, and it's your heart. So you can be that bodybuilder, have muscles popping out of your ears. Be healthy, much healthier than me. You can be that numero uno employee at your workplace. But the Bible says they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. It's good to strive to be a good worker. It's good, but it's not all everything. It's good to work hard. It's a good thing. The Bible says, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. The majority of men that come into the rehab had a job. The job does not conquer what's taking place in one's heart. But man, being the number one employee in here, things get done in that heart. You may not be numero uno at the job place, but I'd rather be known for disciple of the month in the church than employee of the month at the job place. Because we're caught up in what we look like and what they see instead of what God sees. Could you imagine? I gathered up 12 people, it was $60. I had to put in an extra 10 on top of my 5. That's nothing. To go bring salvation? Yeah. Come on. Liberation? Yeah. To lay hands on kids today? $5? There was a time some of you were scoring on the north side, that wouldn't even get you to the north side. Hundreds were being spent every day in addiction on the north side. See, what God really don't need your money. He needs a clean heart. It needs a clean heart that he can use.
I want to be accountable the money that came in through the lease, so I folded it a certain way and I put it in my wallet so I can count correctly when I get home and find out who's short, who hasn't paid that five yet. Doing it for God, not for man. Doing it for God. $5 goes a long ways when the cause is for the Lord. That's why a lot of you don't have enough money. You never have enough money. Because the cause of your money is not the cause of the Lord. He can't stretch what you got. He stretched from the leadership. 10 or 12 gave $5. He stretched it enough to get 150 hot dogs. Punch, chips. We're packing. We're going deep. We're riding deep into the north side. Using hot dogs. It trips me out, man. The church trips me out of today. It trips me out. How big and bad we used to be at one time. And now, knowing that we were deceived, we just let people continue to be deceived day after day, getting killed, all these ODs taking place and all this stuff, and we're sitting back because we don't want to pitch in $5. On wino status, everybody, when the cat was drawn, everybody at least had some change and a couple of dollars to pitch in the hat to do a little beer run. But now we need to run for Jesus. Nobody want to run no more. They got to go to work tomorrow. They're worried about being employee of the month again. They got a good thing going on at their job place. They really like me, Pastor. Perception. You can do all those things. You can work out. All that stuff is good. It's good, and sometimes it requires to be wise to work out, to be strong and devotion and self-denial and severe bodily discipline to work out. But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Some of you are looking for two jobs, overtime. You want to double up to make ends meet. You need to double up in Jesus. They double up in Jesus. We're a frontline ministry. Ain't nothing going to stop us from going to the north side today. I don't care what demon pops up, what devil pops up. I don't care what takes place. We are going to the north side today. The Spanish people, viene que viene. You know, let it, whatever happens, let it happen. Pastor, I got to get rest for tomorrow. I got to wake up early. There was a time when early was not even in your vocabulary. Time had no essence. Time, 3 a.m, 3 p.m, it didn't matter. Going without sleep, doing crazy stuff. The Bible indicates that our thought lives ultimately determine our character. The way we think eventually will come out unto our character in what people see. But it's our hearts that determines our character. It's not our actions that determine our character. It's what's in our heart that determines our character and what comes out. Things that we don't even like when they come out. It's because of what's taking place within our life, not outside of our life. And to back that up with the Bible, very familiar scripture in the King James Version, Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so he is. So is he. Eat and drink, says to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Philippians 4, 6, and 9. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You can trip out all day. I do it, man. I got to keep it real. Amen? I do it. Not because I'm bummed out about my life, but sometimes people get me real bummed out with things they do and things they say. I mean, I'm much stronger than I was 10 years ago, but things still really bum me out. When I see something take place or I hear something take place, and instead of saying, look at God, it's look at the enemy at work. Look at the heart. I still get bummed out. And it's real easy to flip your worries. I got to do this. I got to go work tomorrow. Oh, no, now I feel pressured to go to the rally. Pastor's making me go. No, I'm not. You don't want to go. Stay home. You don't want to go to the rally. Don't go to the rally. Stay home. Go get ready for work tomorrow. I get bummed out sometimes. And what we were willing to do for the enemy, but not willing to do for Jesus. It bums me out sometimes. It bums me out. We got testimonies from here to Texas in darkness, but I want to hear, you know, testimonies in Christ and what Christ has done over the years in your life. If our worldly testimony can grow, so can our godly testimony grow. So when you're tripping out and worrying about her, him, money, whatever it is, all you got to do is put Jesus in it, and it becomes prayer. Man, I can't believe her. She did it again, man. Man, this chick, I tell you, man, you would think she would have it by now. Flip it around. Jesus, you think this chick you put me with would have it by now, but man, there she goes again. Prayer. See, there's power in the name of Jesus. It'll turn a worry statement into a prayer statement just by putting the name of Jesus in your sentences. Do it again. What? Do it again. Jesus, they did it again. Jesus. Too many times we leave the name of Jesus out of where we need him in. We leave the power of the name of Jesus out. And when times get hard, we kick in. We kick in instead of letting Jesus kick in. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. That's called prayer, people. Prayer. It's called prayer. You know how many times I go out to eat and I got to always start off with prayer? Because if I don't, my Christian buddies will start eating without praying. I go, my God, can't even pray for the food we're eating. I mean, religion families pray for the food. Let's say grace at the table and all that. We've been saved by devils and bullets and prison, and we can't even pray for our food. Them hot dogs today are going to be anointed hot dogs. They're going to be called Holy Ghost hot dogs. They're bait to bring them in unto the kingdom of God. If God can use a hot dog to bring salvation, why can't he use your life? Pastor, what's the bait we're using? Hot dogs. Come on, Pastor, man. Hot dogs. They work every single time. Hot dogs. Hey, bro, how did you get saved? We got Holy Ghost set up by a hot dog. Ooh, that's heavy, dude. Wow, man. How many did you eat? Just one. You just see the guy that ate five of them. Ooh.
He's behind the pulpit already.
I was on the north side working at the house yesterday, and a black brother, amen, that lives next to us says, "Hey, pastor, where are you having that rally again?" I said, "Right down the street from here, right there in Washington Park." He says, what kind are the hot dogs you're going to be serving? Because I don't eat those other kind of hot dogs. I said, "They're the ones you want." I really want to say, "They're the ones you need." He said, "Well, I don't eat those kind of hot dogs. They got to be beef." I don't know what he said. I never knew those different types of hot dogs. Obviously, there is. But after ours are out there, I don't care what type of hot dog, they're with the cheapest ones in the pick-and-save shelf. They're going to be so Holy Ghost anointed. People are going to get saved today and have a hot dog testimony and how they got saved. We weren't going to put mustard, ketchup. I think they're even taking all that stuff, too. I mean, we're going loaded. Loaded hot dogs. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. So he wants to give you what you need here this day, not what type of hot dog you want. And thank him for all he has done. Tell him what you need and thank him for, in other words, Paul's saying, as you tell him what you need, remember what he's already done. As you tell him what you need, that looks impossible, that calls for a miracle. As you tell him what you need, thank him for all he's done. If he was able to take you out of addiction, out of prison, out of death, out of whatever it was, whatever you're praying for, what you need, amen, he'll do it again. Next verse. Then you will experience God's peace. I mean, you need the peace of God right now, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Guard your hearts, your minds, his peace. This is a verse I want you to catch on. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. See, so many times our thoughts and our thinking is based on what's false. And that's why we get false, you know, outcome. Fix your thoughts on what is true and what is honorable. Sleeping around ain't honorable. Fix your thoughts on what is right. See, too many want the peace of God, but they're still doing what's wrong. Fix your thoughts on what's pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And that's just not for Sunday. And then it goes on to say, keep putting into practice all you learn and receive from me. Paul speaking. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. It wasn't just the preaching, but he was walking the message. Then the God of peace will be with you. Is that it? Tells us that holiness begins in our minds, in our hearts, in our thought lives. Then it bleeds off into our actions. Tells us what we allow to enter our minds and heart is very, very important. What we allow in our hearts, our body, our minds is very important. Such as the TV programs you watch. Some of you think it's not important to watch rated XXX. XX. That's because there's not a conviction in your life.
Some of you still watch that stuff with the conviction, knowing it's not right. We got to be careful what we let in. Because what we let in, even though we're watching somebody else do something, it's going to happen in your, eventually, it's going to come out of your life. We got to be careful with the books we read. Just because it's a Christian bestseller, don't mean it's of God. You want to know what books to read? Come to me. I'll give you legit authors that are bona fide, proven. So many books out there right now, it's ridiculous. Amen. Amen. With Jesus on the front cover. Tells us, third one, if what we think Amen. And see and hear and let in is important, what's the third one? Boom, 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 boom. Music. 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 Yeah, music. Some of you still just love listening to worldly music. Pastor, man, it takes me back to when I was with her. It takes me back to when I was with him. It takes me back to when I was at the bar all dry. It takes me back. That's right. It takes you back. But now it brings me a good feeling, Pastor. It's like I can control it now. It's hard for the Lord to cleanse one's heart when we keep pouring in what is not admirable, noble, lovely. Music that we listen to. All these avenues, TV, books, these are just three. There's 1,000 more that the enemy uses. All these avenues carry the message of the world. See, the message of the world preaches also. All these avenues that, oh, come on, Pastor, it's not that important. It's not that important. Come on, loosen up a little bit, Pastor. All these avenues of the books and the TV stuff we allow to see and the music we allow to hear is a message of the world. A message of the enemy. And because it feels good, don't mean it's good for you. So as we close here this day, we need to evaluate the effects of these avenues honestly within our life. We need to evaluate these areas in our lives that we let in. Based on Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. In other words, this is what it's going to take. Philippians 4:8, to allow a man or a woman or a youth member to allow their heart to be cleansed by the Lord. To be cleansed of the Lord. When I got saved, I know it's hard. When I got saved, no more girls. What? But little did I know, the girls was the pipe. It was the needle. 22 years now. 22 years, haven't touched a woman but my wife. You may say, that's not a big testimony. If you used to be who I was, that's 1,000 billion miracles right there. That was weird. What do you mean I can't be with a girl? What do you mean I can't go to church with a girl? You bumped your head, man. My dad never even told me that. What do you mean I can't smoke cigarettes? They're legal. What do you mean I got to go to every service? What do you mean I got to give? I get what I want to give. Because it's so different from the lifestyle we live in the world does not mean it's wrong for you. You know how long it took for me to convert over from Black Sabbath and Pink Floyd to worship music? My God. I was a rocker, man, long hair in the clubs. I would have an invisible guitar and I would be like, hair going on my face. Yeah, rock and roll, man, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Do you know what a change it is? If you were to go to my office and hear the music I got playing in there, you would think I'm a square, man, that I'm cuckoo. Jesus. It's the music I have in my office right now. And I'm like, it's the music I get hyped to today. It's the music that, ooh, man, puts me with the Lord. Yeah, that's the one. Ooh, yeah, that's the one. See, you can still feel good and do what's right and honorable. You don't have to do what's wrong to feel good. As we stand this day, some of you say, man, I wish my sister would have came today. That would have been a good message for her. No, it was for you. Message was for you. Man, my brother would have came today. That man, he needed to hear. No, it was for you. We can grow this church, people, but things got to start changing within our lives in order for our decision-making to change. It's what lies in our heart that allows a man or a woman to be sidetracked to the things of the Lord. The Lord has, just by simply what he's already done, has done so much. You got to want to get high in Jesus. You got to want to do right. You got to want to say, man, today, man, I'm going to put this to an end, man. I'm not going to let this thing or this person hold me down no more. You're going to have to make up your mind sooner or later if you want the outcome of your life to be what God wants for your life, within your life. It all starts from within. I can't go in your heart and fix it up. The best heart surgeon cannot go in your heart and fix it up. There's only one physician of physicians I know. His name is Jesus. And through our ministry, he's done it all over the world and over 30 countries in every color and tongue. He's not focused on what we focus on. He's focused on our hearts here this day. And he's trying to get us to focus on what we let in that messes up our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, the Bible says. The doctor would tell you it's your tongue that gives pronunciation. Come on, guys, man. We're all underdogs in here. We might have got off to a bad start, man. But man, we can surely finish strong. And saying, look at the man of God. Look at the woman of God. There she goes. Check her out. Let's be disciple of the month. Hey, bro, man, I was disciple of the month, man, in church, man. Can you believe that? I was disciple of the month, man. I think I'm going to start that, disciple of the month, and I'll put your cheesy picture on the screens throughout the whole message. Amen? Maybe, well, that's what the employee does. All he does is put your mugshot up on the wall somewhere by the bathroom, by the water faucet. What the heck? And every time you go by, you look at your mugshot. A picture taped on a wall. It's what you live for, you're willing to die for. My God.
We're going to have a leadership meeting of employee of disciple of the month. Disciple of the month. We're going to have fights jumping off in the church. Why ain't I a disciple of the church, pastor? Well, you want some? We can do this. You got to wait in line, man. I might have to put one picture on this side, a girl and one a guy, and then another screen, because everybody's going to be fighting, wanting to be the disciple of the month of the church of Victory Outreach Milwaukee. That's what we should want for our lives. That's what we should want for this city, to be a true disciple of the Lord. Worship team, come on. Let's do this. Let's cancel out some of that worldly music today, amen? Sing it loud, sing it hard. Sing out of tune if you want. DJ, crank up the volume on the singers, man. We're going to rock the place right now. Man, in the world, I was... AC/DC shirt on. Rocking. Letting everybody see me play that invisible guitar. In the clubs, I would be up on the wall with my leg up playing the guitar. In the car, jamming, driving, with a beer between my legs, a joint going. Nobody want to party with Jesus. Nobody want to rock it no more. Too old, man. I don't do that stuff no more, Pastor. Let the youngsters take care of it in the church. Come on. What rock song we got in Jesus, man? They don't know where to play a worship song or a praise song. Let's go praise. Hit a praise song. Let's do this. Praise song. Gotta flip it around, man. Praise song. Some of you want to go like this. Some of you want to play that electric guitar. We need a guitar player. Amen. Starts within and then it manifests. Amen. Yeah. You're going to have to move on this one, baby. Come on. I'm watching. Oh, come on. If I can do it, you can do it. And saved us from death. Jesus has us alive to be alive. It's time to rock it out in the house of God. Yay! All day long, all night long, all day. Party. No one else could have done all.
our God. There is no one like our God. No one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
There is no one like our God.
Some of you gotta learn new music. This is one. There is no one like our God. Nothing can compare to who God is. No one.
There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God.
Let's give honor where honor is due. Let's give praise. Come on, rock star. Where praise is due to the one that saved us. To the one that set us free. To the one that breathed life back into our broken lives. What's his name? What's his name? What's his name? And he's in the house. Let's give him a good clap offering. It's funny. Go to the lyrics that says all day long, all night long. Tell me if those ain't a party line song right there. All night long, all day long. You better go ask somebody. You can party in Jesus. You can do what's right in Jesus. You gotta want it. You gotta want it. I could never dance and do this in front of people before. I said, that guy crazy. But I've been set free. I've been set free. I can say I was a no-good-for-nothing drug addict because I'm no longer a no-good-for-nothing drug addict. So it's a witness of what Christ is able to do in one's life and through one's life. You can't be embarrassed of what Christ has done. We weren't embarrassed when we were out there doing our thing, but now we're embarrassed, you know, to praise Jesus, the one that set us free. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. You guys are excused. God bless you. Love you guys. Next Sunday is the last message on holiness. Amen. See you at 1:30 on the north side. Amen. God bless each and every one of you all.